Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Winner's Curse: Behavioral Economics Anomalies, Then and Now is a nonfiction economics book by Richard H. Thaler and Alex O. Emus that revisits classic findings from behavioral economics through a then and now structure. It draws on Thaler's original anomalies columns, first published decades ago with collaborators such as Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky, and updates those ideas with later evidence and modern examples. The result is both a history of the field and a current assessment of what behavioral economics has learned about real human decision-making. Rather than treating people as perfectly rational optimizers, the book shows how habits, framing, loss aversion, fairness concerns, and simple heuristics shape choices in markets and everyday life. Its purpose is to demonstrate that many early anomalies did not disappear with time. Instead, they proved durable, widespread, and relevant across retirement saving, auctions, investing, and expert judgment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book uses a then and now format to test whether classic anomalies still hold. The book's central design is methodological as much as thematic. Each chapter begins with a classic anomaly from Thaler's earlier work and then moves to an update that asks whether the original observation survived later research and changed. Market conditions. This structure matters because it avoids presenting behavioral economics as a static collection of curiosities. Instead, it treats the field as an accumulating body of evidence. Readers see how early lab findings were not merely interesting deviations from theory, but durable patterns that continue to appear in field data. That approach gives the book a built-in standard of comparison. The question is not whether a concept once sounded plausible, but whether it still explains behavior after decades of scrutiny. In this sense, the book functions like a longitudinal audit of behavioral economics. It helps distinguish temporary anomalies from persistent features of human decision-making, and it shows how older insights can become more credible, not less, when they are revisited in new settings. Secondly, Winner's Curse explains why auction winners often pay too much. The title concept remains one of the book's most recognizable examples because it captures a common failure in competitive bidding. The Winner's Curse occurs when the winning bidder ends up overpaying relative to the item's true value, often because each bidder is estimating from incomplete information, and the winner is simply the one who was most optimistic. The original example came from oil lease auctions, where the highest bidder often found less oil than expected. The book uses this mechanism to show how competition can produce systematically bad outcomes even when each participant behaves rationally from their own narrow perspective. Its practical lesson is not just about auctions, but about inference under uncertainty the more bidders there are. The more careful a participant must be about hidden overvaluation. That makes the concept useful for mergers, sports contracts, draft picks, and any market where many actors compete for a limited asset. The broader point is that success in bidding can be evidence of error, not just skill. Thirdly, loss aversion and the endowment effect help explain stubborn everyday behavior. A major theme of the book is that people do not evaluate gains and losses symmetrically. Loss aversion means losses typically feel more painful than comparable gains feel rewarding. And the endowment effect shows that ownership itself can inflate perceived value. These ideas explain why people keep low-value possessions, resist selling assets, and make decisions that appear too cautious or too attached to the status quo. The book treats these patterns not as isolated quirks, but as stable behavioral mechanisms that affect consumer choice, investing, and even sports performance. By placing them alongside updated evidence, the authors show that the effects are not confined to laboratory experiments. They matter because policy design and market outcomes depend on how people actually perceive change. If losses loom larger than gains, then incentives, pricing, and default options must be built with that asymmetry in mind. The book's value lies in showing how a simple psychological regularity can generate many different real-world behaviors without needing to assume irrationality in a pejorative. Fourthly, behavioral economics is shown as relevant to saving, debt, investing, and expert mistakes. The book broadens its scope beyond famous anomalies by applying them to ordinary economic life. It discusses retirement saving, credit card debt, stock selection, and other areas where people often fail to act like standard theory predicts. One of its recurring claims is that even experts do not consistently optimize, which is important because it weakens the idea that better information alone solves decision problems. Portfolio managers, professional athletes, and other specialists can still be influenced by biases such as loss aversion, inertia, or poor weighting of evidence. The book also emphasizes that many choices are shaped by contextual details that standard models treat as irrelevant. This is where it becomes more than a catalog of odd findings. It shows how behavioral anomalies help explain why policies succeed or fail depending on defaults, framing, and surrounding institutions. In practical terms, the book encourages readers to think less about abstract rationality and more about the actual settings in which decisions are made. That shift is central to behavioral economics as a policy-relevant discipline. Lastly, the book presents behavioral economics as a mature field that has become more robust and more relevant. A final major theme is the maturation of behavioral economics itself. The book is not simply a retrospective of old ideas. It argues that those ideas have been reinforced by later research and have become increasingly relevant in modern markets. Its examples of meme stocks and Dogecoin underscore that the efficient market ideal still faces serious challenges in the face of speculative enthusiasm and social contagion. At the same time, the book keeps its tone accessible, suggesting that the field has grown without becoming inaccessible. That balance is important because it makes the book useful for readers with different levels of training. For general readers, it offers a clear introduction to how people really behave. For economists and researchers, it offers a reminder that foundational anomalies continue to matter and that many supposed edge cases are central, not peripheral, to economic life. The book stands out because it combines historical continuity, updated evidence, and conceptual clarity in a single argument about the persistence of human bias. In conclusion, this book should be read by general readers interested in economics, students of behavioral science, policy analysts, investors, and economists who want a current reassessment of classic anomalies. Its main value is that it does not merely restate well-known concepts such as loss aversion or the winner's curse. It shows how those ideas have held up over time, where they appear in real markets, and why they still matter for understanding retirement saving, debt, auctions, and expert judgment. That gives the book both educational and diagnostic value. It helps readers interpret everyday choices and also evaluate how institutions and policies should be designed around human behavior rather than idealized rationality. Compared with many books in the genre, it stands out because of its then and now structure. Instead of offering a broad popular overview or a purely theoretical argument, it revisits foundational anomalies with updated evidence and a clear sense of intellectual continuity. The result is a book that is historically grounded, empirically informed, and unusually effective at showing why behavioral economics remains one of the most practical ways to understand real decision-making. If you would like to support Richard H. Thaler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.